Well, good morning. Lovely to see you all this morning. My name is Ben Walker. I'm the minister here at St. Phil Road, and I'm particularly delighted to see rainbows. Give me away, rainbows. And brownies. There's a couple of brownies there. And guides. Yeah. And rangers at the back there. Give me a cautionary wave. Brilliant. And all your leaders and some parents and other hangers-on of your family. It's great to have you with us this morning and others too as we worship. And whether you're here with us today or whether you're joining with us at home on the live stream or you're watching later, you're really welcome as we gather this morning to worship Jesus. Just as we begin, we've got lots of different things going on this morning. We'll be hearing from some of our girls and hearing a bit about the guides, and we'll be thinking a bit about one particular young woman from a long time ago who was brave and trusted God. But before we get to that, there's a couple of things just in terms of notices for our church family, just to let you know what's going on. The first thing I should say is that, especially if you're visiting with us this morning, this week, we're still wearing masks throughout all our worship. So we've been wearing masks as we come in and go out and throughout our time, and especially as we sing. But I was saying last week to our congregation that things are changing over the coming weeks. So just to let everyone know, this is how things we're hoping will be over the coming weeks. There's a little Wordle rip-off there to help you see how that works. This week, we're still saying... Still staying socially distant and wearing masks throughout. But the first two weeks in March, we'll still be alternating our districts like we have been doing. But when you come in and you sit down, you can take your mask off and everybody can see your beautiful smile. And that'll be lovely for the next couple of weeks. We'll still wear them when singing, but we'll take them off when we're seated. The next 2 weeks of March, the last 2 weeks of March, we'll still be alternating districts, but the chairs will be closer together. We'll have rows a bit more normally like they were before the pandemic. But we'll still have a socially distant area just in the corner there for those who are a bit more wary about that. And then from the beginning of April, from the 3rd of April, we'll all be back in together again. The chairs will be like normal, and there'll be still a small area at the back there that's socially distant, but all back together again. I think for the first time since Christmas and before that, since March, February 2020. We'll still be ventilating, we'll still be cleaning our hands, and still please do stay at home and join online if you have symptoms. The other thing was last week when we were gathering, we were talking about two practical things that people can do. And one was about these prayer cards, and I'm not going to say much about those this week. We'll come back to those again. But for those who were around last week and took one and have brought theirs back, you can still put it in the plate at the back. I've been fixing some to our people over here. And if you want one, there's still some on the table at the hub. Again, we'll have a chance for those in 2 or 3 weeks' time, but just to let you know if you're around last week. The other thing we talked about was a great storytelling the Bible event that's happening tonight. And Alf Thompson is going to come and tell us just a little bit about that.
Thank you, Ben. I'm here to remind you about the Storytelling the Bible Cafe Church tonight at 6:30 here. Those of you who were here last week or were watching heard Leslie Ann give an overview of the importance of storytelling in the Bible and how in this workshop we learn how to take Bible stories to heart and to retell them ourselves. But I imagine that some of you are thinking, well, that's a little bit different to what we normally do, and maybe you're not feeling too sure about it. Well, last week, Derek, Alana, and I had the privilege of having a sneak preview, and I can tell you that it's a really fun, really interactive, and there's really nothing to be nervous about. And most importantly, you'll come away with a much deeper understanding of a Bible story that you probably maybe already know well, but you'll discover so much more about it. So please do come along at 6:30 tonight for a fun and also for a profound evening. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
Alf, thanks so much. We're really looking forward to that. I should say two additional things to that. One is that there'll be coffee when you arrive, so do come and enjoy a cup of coffee when we do that. And the second is that although it says on the notice sheet, this is my fault because I let it go by, it says there's life groups on this week, there aren't. instead of life groups, we've got this great event on tonight. So come along to this this evening at 6:30. Everything else is on our announcement sheet, and that's online. But I want to begin with one of the best known verses from the Bible. It goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When we think about that verse, we're going to pray together. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you love us and you love this world so much that Jesus, you came and you gave yourself for us. We praise you that nothing can stop your wonderful future for us and our world. So Lord, we come and we love you and we trust you and we believe in you and we know that you will never leave us. Forgive us for all that we've done wrong. And fill us with your Spirit and give us courage and joy today as we worship you because of everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our opening song, opening hymn, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Really delighted that we've got some of the girls here, and some of them are going to be taking part this morning in our service. Now, some of the rainbows have been preparing prayers to lead us in. So, girls, come up to the front here, and you're going to lead us in our prayers now with Deirdre. Well, these girls get organized. Why don't we get ready to pray as well? Let's close our eyes and put our hands together.
Thank you, God, for all the girls in guiding, especially here at Saintfield Road. Thank you for all the support we receive from everyone here. Thank you, God, for all my friends in rainbows. We have together. For all the hope we have together.
Brilliant.
Thank you, God, for our family.
And for everything we have.
And for everything we have. We pray for other children around the world who don't have a family or a home. We also pray for those who don't yet know about you. Thank you, God, for a beautiful world for all flowers, trees, oceans, birds, and animals.
Please help us all to love and look after our world.
Thank you, God, that we can all be here today to praise you. Amen.
And all God's people said, Amen. Girls, thank you so much for leading us. That was brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you. Now, one of the girls, leaders, Deirdre, volunteered, and I used volunteered in the loosest possible sense of the term, to come and tell us just a little bit and update us a bit on how things have been for the girl guiding organizations over the past while. As Deirdre says a couple of things and keeps us up to speed with that, you'll see some pictures in the background, just five or six pictures. A couple of them are of guides from 60 years ago, and Deirdre will mention that. And then a few of them are of our guides just recently doing a bit of baking and building towers out of paper. So you'll see a little bit of guides 60 years ago and some guides very recently. And you'll see those just traveling around as Deirdre speaks to us.
As we celebrate World Thinking Day, we also celebrate that Girl Guiding Ulster is 100 this year. Wow, amazing. However, we also celebrate that guiding at Saintfield Road is 62 this year. How fantastic is that? 62 years of guiding here at Saintfield Road. Yes, back in 2020, guiding here was 60. But any plans for our diamond year along with our weekly unit meetings on Monday nights, were put on hold as we all went into lockdown. It was suggested by Girl Guiding HQ that we could hold our unit meetings virtually. But as guiding is about actually being together, doing our activities together, and having fun together with our friends, we took the decision not to meet virtually and that we would start back when restrictions allowed us to. We realise that the girls missed guiding on Monday nights and are aware of the impact that may have had for some. We started back on the 1st of November last year, and whilst it was frustrating, we appreciated that for whatever reason, not all the girls were able to return. However, we are back, and it is good to be back, and there is a real buzz about the halls here on Monday nights. We have a great bunch of girls and young women from the age of 4 through to 16 plus, from all backgrounds and circumstances, who are enjoying lots of activities and adventures. We hope they will make lifelong friends through guiding. Through all the years, we, the leaders, very much appreciate the tremendous support, encouragement, and interest we receive from the parents, and especially from everyone here at Sainfield Road. It really means a lot. Thank you. So, Monday nights just don't happen, and we need more volunteer leaders. You might be sitting there thinking, that sounds like fun. I would quite like to get involved, but I don't think they would want me. I don't have any skills or anything to contribute. Wrong. Because, yep, that was me 22 years ago, when a certain guide leader called Gillian Marshall sidled up to me and said, "I believe Eileen Hamilton asked you to help out with taking over the rainbows. And you didn't say no," with the biggest smile on her face. Seriously though, please, if you are interested, come and speak to any of us. We would love to chat to you about it. Thank you.
Deirdre, thank you so much. It has been great just since November to see girls back in on a Monday night in the building and the life and excitement going in on and around there. That's been terrific. And perhaps now is also the moment to, Deirdre's mentioned Monday nights don't just happen. And as a church here, we're really grateful for that. And many parents and others here, and all you girls here, for all those leaders who volunteer and come along and sort things out every Monday night. So maybe we could just give them a huge sign of our appreciation. This big round of applause for all those leaders. Thank you. So you saw a couple of pictures of things that have been happening, but obviously with it being just since November we've got back and things getting underway again, there haven't been too many photo opportunities, although things have been getting busy and lively. So what we thought we'd do is show you a video that we showed just 2 years ago. We had the same service 2 years ago, and who knew we were going into lockdown then? But 2 years ago we had a great video of lots of pictures of the girls doing lots of stuff. So girls, look out for this. You may see yourselves 2 years younger. You may see people 2 years younger. You'll see a lot of all that happens throughout all the guiding organizations. Now, we're going to show this, Phil. I'm going to say, and to the folks at home, I'm afraid there's going to be no audio just to keep our broadcasting rights right and we don't get kicked off YouTube. So if you're at home, just sing along a happy tune to yourself as you watch the next 3.5 minutes. But we should hear it in here. And here's a little video of things that happen in the guides. Well, one of the reasons we have the service, we'd love to have all you guys with us around this time of the year, is because the 22nd of February is Thinking Day for the guides. Now, I think a couple of the guides are going to come and tell us just a little bit about Thinking Day and introduce it to us. Come on up, girls.
Thinking Day. A day of international friendship since 1926. Every year on the 22nd of February, Girl Guides and Girl Scouts celebrate the movement and connect with each other by having fun together. Learning about and taking action on the global issues that affect their local communities and fundraising for the 10 million Girl Guides and Girl Scouts around the world. The idea for World Thinking Day came to life when Girl Guides and Girl Scouts met in the USA at the 4th WAG Scouts Convention. Fourth WAGS World Conference. The 22nd of February was chosen because it was the birthday of both Lord Baden-Powell, founder of the Boy Scout movement, and Olive Baden-Powell, who was the world chief guide.
On International Day of the Girl 2020, we asked Girl Guides and Girl Scouts under 18 from 100 countries what issue they were most concerned about and what they wanted to change about the world. From this data, we learned that the number one worry is the environment, and so the World Thinking Day theme from 2022 to 2024 will be Our World, Our Future. This year, WTD starts a 3-year journey from Girl Guides and Girl Scouts to become environmentally conscious leaders. Each year, we will build on this environmental theme and explore the links between this environment and other global concerns. This year, we are exploring how girls and women are disproportionately affected by environmental issues and climate change.
Girls, thank you so much. Thanks for introducing Thinking Day to us. That's brilliant. We've heard that Thinking Day encourages girls to be good leaders, to step up for the sake of our world and our future. We're going to think today about a story. So we heard earlier about Bible stories. We're going to think about a story today from the Bible, but a story from history. A story that some of our young people, in fact, have been looking at in Bible class in recent weeks. And it involves a young girl, a young woman called Esther. And when Esther's future, and when the future of Esther's family and people, and when it seemed the future of God's good plans for the whole world were at stake, Esther was called in the middle of great danger to step up and lead, to make a brave decision and put her trust in the right place and do the right thing. We'll hear more about that later on. But first, we're going to sing again about God's good plans for the world. Our God is a great big God, and about putting our trust in Him, Cornerstone. We're going to stand and sing a couple of songs of praise. Let's stand. I think there's actions for the first one that Ruth and Dave will keep us right with.
Big God, our God is a great big God, our
Well, I want us to think this morning about a story from the Bible, the story of Esther. In fact, there's a number of characters I think will come up on the screen here in our story, and I'm going to introduce them to you one by one. But I want to take you back to where this story happened. Now, it happened 2,500 years ago, a long, long time ago, in a city far, far away in the east. I want you to imagine a city that's rich and hot and colorful. And there we are. And in the middle of that city lived a king. A king called Ahasuerus. Now, some people call him Ahasuerus, some people call him Xerxes. We're just going to make it easier, and we're going to call him King A. King A. And there's King A, and he was king over a huge area. Now, if you're a bit older and you know some of your geography, maybe, he was king from India right over here to Egypt right over here and everything in between, 127 provinces, a huge area. He was probably the most powerful man in the world. The most powerful man in the world, King A. And he ruled over it all. Now, the thing was, he was not always the wisest king. Sometimes he was a bit stupid. Sometimes he was a bit selfish. Maybe he was a bit rich and spoiled. Sometimes he was a bit proud. But King A, nevertheless, was powerful. And the story begins with him showing off all his wealth. He was the richest man, so he decided to put it all on display and say to people, come and look how minted, how rich I am. And they all came and had a look. And after that, he decided to throw a big, big, lavish party. Now, I wonder what the longest party you've ever been to is. Who's ever been to a party that's lasted 2 hours? 2 hours. Anybody been to a two-hour party, friends? Anybody been to a party that's lasted 4 hours? Like a whole afternoon? Anybody been to a sleepover? Anybody had a sleepover? Lasted the whole night, all night long. Anybody been to a two-day party? Whoa, Chris, I bet you have. Well, this party lasted 7 days. Imagine that, a whole week, a party that lasted a whole week. And by the end of this party, well, King A was so happy, so full of himself, that he decided what he'd do was call for his wife. Now, she's called Vashti. There's his wife, Vashti. And he said, oh, Vashti, I want to come and show you off in front of everybody, like call you to the front here and show you off in front of everybody to show what a beautiful wife I've got because I'm such a great king. And Vashti, she was a sensible woman. She went, what? What? I'm not doing that. No way. I'm not just another thing of yours that you can show off, like all your money and your riches and your land. No. I'm not coming to make you look good like that. So she wouldn't come. And the silly king got so angry that she'd refused him that he said, well, you can go then. You're no longer my wife. Get out. Go. And so off Vashti went. And after a while, King A sat there and he probably felt a bit sad and a bit lonely. And so he set up a search for a new queen. You can imagine, actually, that could be a new TV show, going to search for a queen. And he sent people off across the whole kingdom to look for a new queen. And that is where Esther comes in. Now, here's Esther, and she was a young woman, probably actually not much more than maybe an older teenager or in her early 20s, who knows, very young woman. And she had no parents, but she lived with her uncle, Mordecai. And there he is. And Mordecai looked after Esther. Now, Mordecai, a long time ago, he lived in Jerusalem, which was a little way away. And he and Esther were part of God's people, Israel. They were Jews. They were part of the people that God had promised to bring his blessing to the whole of the earth through. He'd use these people, including Mordecai and Esther. But a big war had happened, and Mordecai got pulled away. And he now had to live in Susa, and here he was with his niece, Esther. And life was hard for them there. Well, when people came from the king looking round to find a new queen, they took Esther along with a lot of other girls. And the girls spent ages being made ready to meet this big, rich, powerful king. But when they did, it was Esther who the king liked the best. She'd gone from being a no one, a poor girl, refugee with no mum or dad, to being the queen of the biggest empire in the world. Wow, what a story. But that's actually not where the story ends. It's where the story begins. Because Esther hadn't let on to the king or anyone else that she was from Israel, that she was one of God's people, a Jew. And that became a bit of a problem when this man, Haman, came on the scene. Now, every time I say Haman, We've got a boo, okay? Haman. Yeah, that's not bad, actually. That's not bad. Let's give it another go. Haman. Do you know, every time to this day that the Jewish people tell this story, and they do it every year, everybody boos when they say Haman. Great. So, Haman was a man who became really powerful, and he was second in charge. He became really friendly with the king, and he was second in charge in the whole of the empire. And he loved power and wealth, but he didn't think he had enough of it yet. But what he didn't like was Mordecai, because he thought that one time Mordecai had disrespected him. And he was so angry with that that he thought, not only will I get rid of Mordecai, I'll get rid of all of Mordecai's people. All the Jews. That's what Haman, thank you, thought. So he went to the king and he said, I've got this plan. And the king was a bit stupid. And so he agreed. He didn't think it through and he agreed. What we know, but what the king doesn't know, is that if Haman got rid of all the Jewish people, that would mean getting rid of Esther too, his new wife. But I wonder, does the king care enough about Esther to be bothered? I mean, he got rid of Vashti. So, that's where the story is. And Mordecai finds out about the plan, and he is obviously devastated. He and all his people are going to be killed in a few days. So he gets a message to Esther in the palace. She's now living in the Grand Palace, and he gets a message to her. And he says, Esther, you've got to do something about this. You're the queen. You've got to do something about this. But Esther gets the message, and she sends one back. She says, Uncle Mordecai, no one can approach the king without being asked. Not even me, the queen. No one can go up to this rich and powerful king unless they've been invited. If they do, they're killed. Only if he extends his rich golden royal scepter to them can they approach. But that's an only if. That's only if he likes the look of them. And do you know what? I haven't seen the king in a month. I'm not sure he likes me anymore. So really, I can't do that. I can't go and see the king and try and save the people. It's not looking good then for Mordecai and Esther, all God's people. What does that mean, too, for God's plan to bring blessing through these people to the whole of the earth? Does that mean that Haman, with all of King A's rich power, the most powerful man in the world, is about to wipe out all that God has planned for the future of his world? Well, when that message gets back to Mordecai, he responds again. And that's where our Bible reading this morning comes in. Susan Smith, who is one of our ranger leaders, is going to come and read just a little bit of the story for us. Listen carefully to what happens here.
The reading is from Esther chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions.
Susan, thank you. So maybe you heard what happened there. Mordecai, he gets back to Esther and he says, listen, if all God's people are killed, don't think you'll escape. If Esther does nothing, if she just stays quiet and says, well, I'm just going to keep on living in the palace here and say nothing, I'm not going to go to the king. Well, Mordecai still thinks God will do something, but it won't help Esther. But maybe, says Mordecai, maybe, Esther, you have been made queen, not just to be rich and powerful, but for such a time as this, to step up and be brave and act. I wonder how you'd have felt if you were Esther. There you were, alone in that big palace, not sure whether the king still likes you. You're a queen, but what can you do? And you know your life and your family and your whole people are in danger. If you stay quiet, maybe you could survive. Just hide away and get away with it. But if you go to the king and you haven't been invited and he doesn't want to see you, that could be the end of you. What's the right thing to do? What would Esther do? Well, as we read the story, we can see that, and this is the first thing I want us to go away with today, Esther is brave. Esther is brave to do the right thing. She decides she'll go to the king and see if she can change his mind, even though it's dangerous and it's against his law. If I perish, she says, then I perish, but I'm going to do the right thing. Even though she's scared, even though she doesn't know what will happen to her, she knows there's a right thing to do for the future of her people and the world, and she has to give it a try. That's being brave. That's stepping up and being a leader. You know, you're only being brave if you're afraid. People who aren't afraid, they don't have to be brave. But if you're afraid, we need a bit of courage sometimes to do the right thing. There's no issue with being afraid, but with Esther, she's also brave to do the right thing, even though she doesn't know how it's going to turn out. But let me tell you why Esther was brave and how Esther was brave. It's because she trusts God. Because she trusts God. See, the first thing that Esther says for Mordecai and all the other people to do is to get together and fast for 3 days. Now, I don't know if you've ever fasted. It's like the opposite of a party. A party is when you eat food for hours and days on end. When you fast, you don't eat anything or drink anything. And they did that for 3 days. And it was their way of saying how much they depend on God. During that time, they would have prayed and said to God, God, please save us. Please help us. So for 3 days, they all got together and they prayed. And Esther and the people showed that they depended on God. They know that he was more powerful than anyone or anything else, even King A, the most powerful man in the world. They know that God would work out his plans no matter what happened. Esther trusts God to be at work and to make her brave when she really needed it. She doesn't know what God's going to do. She doesn't know what will happen to her. But she knows that King A is not the true king, but that God is. So when Esther trusts God and when she is brave, well, some things happen. As the rest of the story goes on, and I'll cut the story quickly for us here, quietly behind the scenes, God is at work making things happen. So Esther goes to the king, and he's pleased to see her. And he accepts her invitation to come to a party and to bring Haman along. That's going to be some meal, isn't it? With all three of them there. But God makes the king welcome her in. God's at work. Then the king has a sleepless night. He can't sleep. And he gets up in the middle of the night and he asks someone to read a bit of the stories of what's happened, and he remembers that Mordecai once saved his life. It was God who brought about that sleepless night and reminded him of that story that very night before the meal. And at the meal with the king and Haman, he's still evil, come on, he's still evil, boo! At that meal, Esther tells the truth and says that it's Haman, boo Haman, who wants to get rid of her people. And the king does away with Haman. We can cheer at that bit. Oh yeah, I mean it's boo Haman. We can cheer, the king does away with him. Yay! Great. And he puts Mordecai and Esther in charge, and they save God's people. In this story, where the future seems really in the balance, unknown, what's going to happen? Esther and Mordecai, they're brave to do the right thing. And we see Esther step up as a young girl, a young woman, and do what's right, even though it could really cost her. And she does it because she trusts in God. And she and her people depend on God and see him at work doing things that they could not make happen themselves. There's a lesson in this story, not least to young girls and women, but to all of us, to realize that God puts us in places and calls us to step up and lead and be brave and do the right thing, whatever we might think or fear will happen next. And maybe even when other people around us are getting it wrong. That might be in small ways or big ways. That might be in the playground, when we're called to do the right thing when other people are doing the wrong thing, or in the classroom, or in the workplace, or among friends. Or it might be about things we do and decisions we make for the future of this world, where we see things that hurt others or aren't fair or damage what God has made. To be brave and step up and do the right thing. But the bigger lesson is that neither Esther or Mordecai or you or me are the hero of the story or this world. Neither Esther nor Mordecai get everything right, and neither do we. But God does. The true hero of this story is God, and Esther knows it and trusts him. God's the king, God's in control. Even when we don't see it, he's working behind the scenes. God wants us to do the right thing, but we know that with God, he will one day bring what is right and good about for the whole of the world, no matter what. So we can trust him as we try to do what is right. Now, much, much later, hundreds of years later, after Esther died, long after Esther died, but because God's people and promises had lived on because of what she'd done, God came as one of those people, Jesus. Funny, ordinary Esther had become a queen. Now, the king of the whole universe became an ordinary person, just like you and me. And he came in a big way to save all of God's people, not from one wicked man and his evil plot, but from all that's wrong with the world and the consequences of all that we get wrong. The Bible says at just the right time, he gave his life so that we can have life with God as his love people in a world wonderfully right and new. So as we think, and as you girls throughout this year and these coming years think about our world and our future, your world, your future, we can be brave to do the right thing like Esther, even when it seems hard or scary. But we do that as, like Esther, we put our hope and our trust in Jesus, the King who one day will make everything in this broken world right. We're going to pray now, and Grace is going to lead us in our prayers. And she's going to help us to pray about some of the things we can think about from Esther's story. In particular, she's going to help us think about one of the horrible things that's happening in the world at the moment in the Ukraine, and how actually we can pray this as we think about Esther. Grace, lead us in our prayers.
As you might have seen, there have been quite a lot of helpful prayer request lists from church leaders in Ukraine and prayers from people like Evangelical Alliance and the 24/7 Prayer Movement to help us to think about how to pray. And I'm going to use some of what they've said over the last few days, along with the words of a song that you might recognise as we pray. So let's pray together. Father God, as we pray today for the people of Ukraine, we confess that sometimes we feel helpless and we don't know what to say or how best to pray or what to do. So Lord, we start by remembering who you are. God, we praise you that you see and know everything. Lord, we know that you love this world and that you love the people that you have made in your image. And Lord, we know that you are faithful to keep the promises that you have made. God, our fortress and our strength, the rock on which we can depend. You are matchless in your majesty, your power, and your authority. Unshaken by the schemes of man, the never-changing great I am. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but you are faithful through it all, the King of Kings forevermore. Lord, we pray today for those who are mourning, for those who have had to leave their homes and jobs and families, for those who are afraid and vulnerable. Lord, we cry out to you, the King of all nations, asking that as you did in the time of Esther, you would rescue people from the hands of their enemies, both in Ukraine and around the world, that they may live without fear. And Lord, we ask that you, the Prince of Peace, would write a different story in the days ahead than the one that we are currently watching and playing out on our TV screens. Lord, we pray for those who are seeking to defend life and liberty. And in the middle of lots of political posturing and military action, we pray for those who are involved in finding diplomatic solutions to bring peace. Lord, would you give them wisdom beyond human wisdom? We pray for the end to violence, for lives to be spared, and for a peace that is strong and lasting. There are many practical things, Lord, that the people in Ukraine need. First aid, medicines, healthcare, shelter and food. And Lord, we pray that you would protect those trying to provide these things and that supply lines and communication would remain open. And that as children are evacuated and refugees flee, that they'd be welcomed and provided for in safe places. And Lord, help us to see how we can help in practical ways, even from this distant place. Lord, we pray for the church in Ukraine, for our brothers and sisters and your family there. Lord, we ask that you would give them courage to stand strong like Esther. Give them wisdom and strength to know how best to act as they shelter the weak, serve the suffering, and comfort the broken. Lord, give them boldness to live for you like Esther in these times. Lord, please help the Christians in Ukraine to hold on to and to offer to those around them the unshakable hope of Christ and the good news of the gospel. God, our fortress and our strength, the rock on which we can depend, matchless in your majesty, your power and your authority, unshaken by the schemes of man, the never-changing great I am. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. You are faithful through it all, the King of Kings forevermore. Lord, may your name be lifted up and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Grace, thank you. We're going to stand and sing our final song, our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand and sing together.
Thou my best one.
Thank you so much for coming and being here. It's great to have you with us. It's great to see you and to lead us to and to families and all those visiting with us this morning. Please feel free to come any week and every week. We're here every week and we worship Jesus. There's things for all ages. Do come and join us any week as we do that. But now let me finish with some words of the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. His face.